Good morning and welcome to our live talk program. This is Lloyd Grubb here, your host on Revive Reform Radio, doing our live talk program covering motivation on this year, Monday morning, Rise and Shine. And this morning, my topic is Analyzing Actions to Make America Great Again by Donald Trump. This is what I'm looking at here for this morning. So welcome again. Hopefully, you had a blessed night rest and ready to take on the challenges of this week and this day. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us, and thank you, dear Lord, for the way that you've given us a mind, dear Lord, to study, to analyze, and to look, dear Father, at what is truth and what is error. May you bless us, dear Lord, that we might stay focused, dear Lord, on truth. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So thanks again for being with me here on this morning here as I look at this very important topic here about analyzing actions to make America great again by Donald Trump. So it's been quite a few years since Donald Trump has been in power. And after 4 years, there should be enough evidence to look at specifically what has been done in the last 4 years, the policies, the principles, the statements, and just to analyze some of what it is. So it's quite a lot here. So I don't know how much I'll be able to read through everything, but how much analysis I'll do a little bit. And then I have four more days to continue my theme. So my theme for this week is when doing everything to save a country, institution, or person ends up destroying it. So when doing everything to save a country, institution, or person ends up destroying it. So in brackets there, I have when doing everything wrong. So what I'm going to show you here by analysis, I'm going to tell you up front, just reviewing various different sites, both liberal and conservative and down the middle, nonprofits like Brookings Institute and so forth, that just looking at what happened in the last 4 years. And then you'll be the judge of how, I mean, you're going to end up analyzing it because all the material speaks for itself. You don't have to analyze this material. So this is what we're looking at here. Very fascinating what happened, because I've seen this before. And as I told you before, the narratives, I've seen it in the corporate church, how they destroyed it. And but I didn't know that what I was seeing in the church was happening in the society, because I wasn't understanding that it's just how the culture works. So when doing everything wrong or everything to save a country, because that's really what the intention is. They're trying to do things to save the country. When doing everything to save a country, an institution, or person, or family, ends up destroying it. So you can do things, you're doing things, but everything you're doing is working against it. Our main text for this week is found in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. And it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because, notice here, there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." So when we study the pattern, and the pattern, many countries you can pull the pattern from. Most naturally, Rome was an excellent pattern to study what's happening today, right? What did the Caesars of Rome did to make Rome great again, and what was the end result? As you know, Rome crashed, and Rome blamed probably all its problem on foreigners, the enemy, you know, its enemies, but never blame itself. So that's always a problem when you deal with somebody, whether it be a person on drugs, a person that has having financial problem, whatever they're dealing with. One thing is always consistent: people tend, and people who are will fail in life and fail at life, tend not to blame their problems on themselves. Because to do that, then they would have to correct and they will get good correction. So here, Israel is a powerful pattern to study because there's so much documentation and there's still people alive who claim to be Jews. And you can see the history and see how every time you look at the history of the Jews, even the current behavior that they're displaying in the world, how they end up ruining themselves. They are a fascinating study, both historically and currently, of bad behavior that destroy people. So notice here, because there's no truth. So what has been one of the mark of the first year? And I'm not analyzing yet, because I have just a very specific analysis, in a sense of I'm just going to read what the media and Wikipedia and all these things and some of the things I remember said. So I'm not trying to analyze. I'm just looking at text. What was the problem with Israel? There's no truth. The last 4 years, what did we hear about? There's something to do with no truth. whatever side you're on, you know that there's lies being told. And one side say it's a media telling a lie, and every institution that ever that exists in America was lying. And then the president was telling truth. So then, and then the evangelicals, the pastors and the prophets. So there was no truth. There's no mercy. That was the, one of the big things that happened the whole four year. It was, we're going to save the country by abusing others. And there's no knowledge of God, even though there were so many prophets prophesying. But there's the knowledge of God is dying even in the remnant church. And notice here, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touch at blood. So one thing can be certain, and probably this here, probably I'm the only one I know of that taught much about this, even though I'm not part of the mainline anything, is this idea here that so much of the mass murders that happen where they take a whole family, wife, kids, and then suicide themselves, it has to do with adultery, right? But this concept of swearing, you know, it could be somebody just swearing to a marriage, swearing to the Constitution, swearing to whatever, but then partaking in insurrection, you're right? So there's this concept here of just no trust, no honesty, swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery, their breakout. And literally there have been a lot of bloodshed where for the size of the country, America leads the world when it comes on to mass murder, when it comes on to suicide, when it comes on to suicide, murder, you know, homicide, suicide of families and people, blood touch at blood. This is no spiritual warfare, as they say. This is literally real as it can get. But the evangelicals and the false prophets, they try to make it to do something to do with some spiritual warfare. Man, there's blood being spilled. Going to some neighborhoods, the gangbangers are banging away at each other with guns. This is what's going on. Therefore shall the land mourn, which is what we're seeing. For the size of the country, again, the amount of deaths from coronavirus, because there's just carelessness in management. And everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish long-term debt. And as I covered before, coronavirus had added to this, where a percentage of the society is having long-term, long COVID. With the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also are taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophets also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. So all aspects of society, good and bad, is getting taken out. My people are destroyed, now he says, for a lack of knowledge. So there's still something about information that is missing. And if you look at Israel, you can say this was a problem with Israel. There's still a problem with the lack of information or rejection of information, as the prophet here, Hosea, is going to clarify. Notice it says here, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, from that thou shalt be no priest to me, right? So notice here, they are not just having a lack of information, they're rejecting information. Very important to note. Seeing thou as forgetting the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children as they increase. So the more they increase, so they sin against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. So now, I'm going to analyze with you here. I'm going to analyze with you here this old idea here of my topic again. The actions to make America great by Donald Trump in the last 4 years. So here we go. So I'm just going to read them. There's no particular order to this because I'm not in any way trying to do this in order. Most of this is just right off my head. Some of it I just went online and tried to read different sites to pull it, right? Pull some information So I'll get into, I'll break them down into their separate pieces as I go through the week and analyze this, because it's important. As I say, I saw this behavior in the church, and it led to a lot of closed churches, and then I saw it in the broader church community, Christian community, where a lot of the churches in the Baptist, Methodist, Calvinist, all these various different churches just closed, shut down. I'm like, what went wrong? And as I analyzed it, I realized whatever was going wrong in the church was happening in the society. They were making moves, as my theme for this week, to save the system, but everything they did ended up destroying their own system. Notice here. So when, as I said, not particular artists, I'll just take them off as a list. So here are some of the big hits that happen. There's not the minor things that is just too much. And statements that were too much. So notice here. Fight with China about trade agreement and threatening the Chinese economy. So you know there were tariffs, and I'm going to read a little bit more details about that later on, right? As we just kind of go through this list. So there was a big fight with China, because remember the whole idea is that they have a trade deficit with China. And one of the things the president was going to do is going to settle that trade deficit. And he was going to basically try to hit China with so much tariffs that it would probably hurt the economy or cripple the economy. And he was in a fight with China. Now, remember, this is important, because this was one of the fights that I was watching, and I was saying, this is going to be an interesting fight, because it's one thing when you fight with like a little island, you know, probably a million people, 2-3 million people. It's an unfair fight, 330 million people fighting against an economy of 3 million people. You're more or less going to win. It's 1% of the economy, and most actually probably a poorer 1% of the economy. So you fight like that, you're easier to win. You're fighting with China, somebody that is 4 times your size. That's more a real fight, right? Even though your economy is so strong. And I was seeing, you know, unlike other countries, China could reprise and do things that could really affect America. So that was a fair fight. And not that I'm endorsing it, but I thought that was a suicidal fight for both countries. So that was one of the things. We're going to talk about that more. Stop Meals on Wheels. So that was one of the first things the president did, I remember. He say you need to cut back on the socialism in the country. And one of the things he went after was Meals on Wheels. Now, Meals on Wheels serve a lot of poor people and primarily older people who are shut in. I remember one of the thing that you do to curse a nation and curse a church or yourself is to be unmerciful to the poor. Because it's one thing to say that you're going to do this, which is fight with China, which came up a little bit later. But you're going to stop feeding people who are poor and then older people. Then what are you doing? I know the president, somebody said the president is not a godly man. I get that. But still, you do that as pure wickedness. You're going to turn the wrath of God on the nation. But this member, all of this was the aim, was to make America great again. And I throw this in there. This is not part of it. As I said, nothing in line, but this is can be pulled together. This concept of anti-socialism, which is and anything anti-social programs, anything to take taxpayer money, whatever money, and help poor people. And then this idea that most of the people who are being helped are not worthy of it. And the group that was fascinating, that is the biggest backers of that, is anybody that is Cuban or Cuban descent. Very fascinating concept, because they were established here with socialism. You gotta give them handouts and they put them in the front of the line when they were fleeing from Cuba, from Castro. And so, but anti-socialism. So then this concept again of no mercy. Anti-handouts. So they talk a lot about, you know, the moochers and those who mooch off the system. And you find that large swaths, some of the poorest areas and some of the poorest areas in the country are in South Dakota, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia. Very fascinating, you know, concept that the people who are so dependent upon government aid is the ones that are mostly talking about anti-socialism, anti-handouts. So, but again, all of this was to make America great again. Another thing, just going through a list here, stop Obamacare. So that was high on the priority because Obamacare is handed again to the poor, so no mercy again. Tax breaks for the rich. Now, this was the opposite. So while they were cutting meals and wheel, anti-whatever, they were cutting also the tax rate for the rich, the higher incomes. So, you know, the tax rate is a gradual tax rate. And so the higher the person make is the more, it's the tax increase per the higher numbers they make in a linear system or a gradual system. Can't explain that to you now, but you're supposed to understand the American tax system. So it's not basically 37% on the old income is a gradual tax increase in tax per, say, every 100, 200,000 the person make. They rolled that back. So there is that, you know, give the money to the rich and it will trickle down so we can, the rest of us can get crumbs or those who are in the margins. Because I'm not on the margins per se. So roll back again. So we just keep moving on. So nothing in line here. Just kind of throw them out to you. We analyze some of them more in the week by God's grace. So roll back of energy and anything natural to preserve nature. Roll back of anything. All right. So there's been quite a few rollback because the aim was to make America energy independent and so forth and so on. And then there was too much pressure, especially on Texas and certain, areas in the country. They were pressuring them because there were too much EPA regulation. So one of the things they wanted to do was destroy the EPA so that we can just, there should be no rules when it comes on to anything natural. If any kind of a mining or any type of drilling or anything that could damage the environment should kill any of that. That was part of the platform. So just kind of going through some of it here. So notice here, some of the things that happened that was kind of strange was the president didn't like the fact that the shower heads limit the amount of water flow when you're taking a shower. And I remember over the years, we came up with, they had more issue, they had more production of things like rain shower head, where, you know, it rain on you, which is a weird idea because normally rain started falling, somebody put on a cap or a umbrella. It's kind of weird way to get water hitting your head, but it feels nice when you shower in one of those rain showers. So anyhow, so he limited that. He wanted to free it so that the showers could just flow as much water. And so that was one of the great things to make America great again. Dishwasher, he wanted dishwashers to use more water. He didn't want the limit so that you don't use more water. You know, some of the older dishwasher, if you remember, they had one jet, you know, one spinner. I don't know what you call it. The thing that sprays the water. And then some had two, and then over the years, you know, dishwasher use a lot of water. So he had rolled back that. So that was, again, I'm just going through, make America great. Coal mining, he says that coal wasn't going to come back. And that some of these places that are in America that are suffering because of the decline in the coal industry and the use of coal because it's dirty and because of all that, he was going to bring it back. So 4 years later, it didn't come back, right? It is where it's at and probably get worse. I saw a documentary, you can go online and look at a documentary, I think it was in either Kentucky or West Virginia, where the coal miners now, and it was done, I think, last year or the year before, where literally on one of the coal mining plants, they had a solar grid doing solar harvesting, you know, solar panels, collecting sun to make electricity on the plant. I thought that was like an irony, you know, very ironic. So after 4 years, the plant just basically is now, they're using it to harvest solar energy. So this is the type of stuff. So it never happened, right? So that plant never even came to be. Now, the only thing that really happened is, and I say it up front, is this tax break for the rich. And the Supreme Court got three Catholic justices. I was going to say one of them is partial Catholic. Well, you know, that's the point. So anyhow, so coal light bulbs, the president complained about LED light bulbs, which are very energy efficient, can last 13 years. And he was saying that they make him look too orange, which is kind of weird. I guess there's the soft white and then there's the daylight light bulbs. And there's both fluorescent and, you know, constant flow fluorescent I think that's what it's called. Or, but anyhow, so it's he didn't like that. So he wanted to go back to incandescent, which is very waste a lot of energy. And one thing is interesting with the ideology here, because if you're a multi-billionaire, all these things don't really matter to you. It really doesn't matter. But if you're a regular person, it really matters, because again, if you can save a few thousand dollars every year by energy investments, that matters. But if you're a multi-billionaire, who cares, right? So light bulbs, he wanted to roll that back, right? So that was one of the big hits. He didn't like the fact that he didn't concern about the energy savings. He was just concerned that it made him look orange, which is strange, because there's different types of light bulbs, and you could just put in, anyhow, it's a different story. Gas mileage for cars, he didn't like the fact that Obama made it that gas miles, the car should be more energy efficient. And over the years, the cars have become being energy efficient. And interesting enough, gas mileage for cars is one of the big things that Obama pushed over the 8 years. And most of the company was going ahead with it. And then after the president came in, three companies, Toyota, I think it was General Motors, and Fiat decided to sue the EPA to not force them to have to make the cars more energy efficient. Now that the president is loser, might not be in power, according to the prophets, the evangelical prophets, he might get back in there saying, still, by a arm coup, that's what they're promoting now online, is those companies now are deciding to drop their lawsuit, because now they realize if Biden gets in, they're going to have to go with the energy improvements on the car, gas mileage. Now, that's fascinating too here, because that's part of the problem. There's companies that are innovating, and you see what Tesla did and all these companies did. Sooner or later, you're going to have to innovate. If you don't innovate, then you're going to get left behind. And it's one of the things that BMW had decided, that there's, and Ford had decided that they're just going to go ahead and try to innovate and not go with the president, because if they don't, then other companies that are innovating are going to leave them behind, which is one of the problem of what he's doing. Because as other people and other countries would continue with their energy efficient development, and that's big in places in Europe and Australia and various different places, you leave the American companies behind, because they're talking about coal and talking about going back to incandescent. They're going backwards. I don't know how that would have worked. That would have been so, if the president gets seen by a military coup for the next 4 years, and he forced all these companies to go backwards, if the rest of the world doesn't follow him and they keep developing their cars and dishwashers to be more energy efficient, then after the next 4 years, America will be like 8 years behind them in technology. This to me is not making the country great again. And I remember I was watching an interview with Obama, and he said one of the things he did is literally had changed the way how energy efficient the appliances were. And the aim of the president for the last 4 years was to stop that. But the rest of the world is I've watched a lot of stuff when it comes on to what's developing in other countries. And the rest of the world has not stopped this. So that's a problem, where you have these institutions doing everything wrong to save themselves, because life is moving on and they're getting left behind. And after a while, they become like dinosaurs. And I remember when Review and Herald, the publishing house, the Adventist, one of the biggest Adventist publishing house, if my understanding is right, they didn't adapt to the new gadgets, you know, the tablets and the smartphones, and they never innovated. So it came a point where they didn't do no innovation, that they were just caught there with paper. And paper is still being produced, but not at the level that people are using, say, books and stuff on tablets and stuff. And they just never moved. So they became just these dinosaurs that just sit there and became prehistoric. The flood got them, I guess, and took them away. So notice here, continue going on to what are some of the things that happened in the last so many years. So one of the things happened here is that he removed federal restriction on energy production. So this concept of drill, baby, drill finally got, I remember Sarah Palin was the one that was talking about that. And he finally got that going. Well, what ended up happening? COVID-19 shut it down. So again, you put all this emphasis on this thing, and then it kind of in the end, at the end, which many people are saying is not end yet, didn't really matter, because when COVID-19 came, the energy production just came to a grinding halt because people just limited their travels. So they had to make some massive readjustments and whatever, and it sent a lot of people out of business. So even some of the stuff that probably this was one of the few things that per se, I just said, made America great again, so to speak, right? Using up your oil reserves, which don't make no sense to me. You'd want to taper off that thing and use it as limited as you can, and so it lasts longer. Because for years, we're talking about, you know, the peak oil. Well, you know, you do some energy investments and then you lose less, so then you don't hit that peak fast. So anyhow, so they removed this restriction and COVID shut it down in here. And then even though they're removing a restriction, part of the thing is that the energy development with using other energy sources constantly being improved independent of government action, and sometimes because of government action. What am I saying here? This is the big thing that I noticed, and I will talk about a lot going forward, even this year, that there's things that were happening that is independent of it's the government doing it. There's development that happens that are just natural development. In other words, they're working on robotics, energy independence, energy this, energy, you know, all kind of technology. This has nothing to do with the government. This is just people inventing stuff, you know, and things are going to these are moving in that direction. But there's people thinking that what you need to do is stop it, and you need to use the government to stop it, because there's some people, especially in some rural areas, are being left out. Well, one of the things that Obama was trying to do, which I think was logical and made absolute sense, that had nothing to do, he didn't have to do it, it should have been done a long time, was get rural parts of the country in those same areas that are red states to go get high-speed internet. I think every president should push for that. It's absolutely logical. This was, this independent of what happened with COVID, for the last so many years, if you weren't on high-speed internet, even if it's just broadband, you know, internet, not cable or whatever, you're just left out of the modern economy that's coming, because everything is going so much gadget. But somehow that became a red state, blue state thing. But it, to me, is just a human thing, you know. And then notice the same group of people now are against 5G and they want to destroy the antennas and stuff. I'm like, man. You know, some people just, I guess, they're against themselves without knowing. Is there some things you're not going to change? More and more things are just done online. But you could stop it, but I don't understand why. Anyhow, continue happen. Another important thing that the president tried to do to make America great again was, and this, he had put, what you call it, some, you know, executive order. One of the executive order he did was to eliminate gun-free zones, right? So this was one of the things he was against, this idea of gun-free zones. And most naturally, like with every president, whether they Republican or Democrat, blue or red, mass murders keep happening in America, and they're happening in gun-free zones. So what many people are saying is, like, you see, there's no such thing as a gun-free zones. So we need to eliminate them. So, you know, gun-free zones are normally a certain proximity to schools and libraries and so forth. So the president, I guess, didn't want that. They wanted anywhere you could just go and go with a gun. And you know, they have done so many church shootings and so forth and so on. This was the aim to make, to by eliminating the gun-free zones, then you have, I don't know what would happen, because even just recently there was a pastor who had a gun in Texas, which is one of these areas that wanted a gun-free zone. And the assailant, a young man, grabbed the gun from him. I guess when he wasn't paying attention, when he held the guy at gunpoint that was in his... The police was looking for this guy. He hid in the church bathroom. Police, the pastor, the next morning, Sunday morning, went to church and encountered a young man, told the young man to get on the ground at gunpoint. And I guess he wasn't paying attention. He got distracted to say, somebody said something. He looked, young man grabbed the gun and shot him with him, kill him. And then I think injured or shoot two more people. And then they arrest the young man. But this normally you think a church is a gun-free zone, but then people are getting shot in church. And so you don't address all these mentally ill people, which is to me the easiest legislation that should be easily passed. People who are already diagnosed to be mentally ill, just they can't have a gun. But this is how it's taking away the Second Amendment's rights. So you have these people who are mentally ill that's on various different mental health drugs by their mental clinician have access to guns. I mean, but instead of saying, let's address that problem and address criminals having guns, the aim is to eliminate the gun-free zones because the problem is the gun-free zones. Notice here, another important thing that the president did that is in the last 4 years, use every lawful presidential power to remedy the trade deficit, which is mentally, I mentioned that. So here's some numbers, including the application of a 45% tariffs consistent with Section 201 and 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 and Section 235 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962 to stop China illegal activities, including its theft of American trade secrets. So that was the thing that I think people said, you know, I guess one of the things, as he says, he fought for us, right? Because this was never addressed. And as I say, it might seem, this is one of these things, if you go to somebody and say, okay, this is what the president does. So is this what you're talking about, right? Because my fascination is this, that people are saying that this is one of the greatest 4 years in any American presidency. And this, he's probably the greatest president that ever ruled America. That's what he said, and his followers them say. I'm going to read it to you here. He said, they said, as I keep reading this list to you. So if you're looking at this list, right, as I'm looking at it, the question then is, why would a person still believe that the president is one of the greatest presidents in American history? Because this is what he did in the last 4 years. I'm finished the list. I just wanted to pause here to make you think about this. So the president says this is one of the greatest president and his followers in American history. And he's one of, if not the best, this is one of the best, if not 4 years in American president, in any American presidential rule. So it would be interesting to hear your answer. I'd be really interested to hear your answer to this. Like, because I'm fascinated by this idea. Because his followers believe that all what I'm reading here makes him one of the best presidents in American history. And also his followers believe in that this is probably the best 4 years in any American history, any American president. So back to the tariffs now. So this thing here with the trade tariffs is one of the reasons. Well, I think one of the concrete reasons, I think, that they believe it, because I'm trying to understand. But I remember when this happened, I said, this is not good. China can hit back America. And then I remember when I saw that virus coming from Wuhan and it came from the wet market, so it said. And the wet market is just down the road from one of the biggest bio lab in the world, one of the most, you know, delicate bio lab in the world. Biological, you know, lab that probably do biological weapon, because it was run by a military person. I thought that was weird. But I say, but you know, you hitting somebody and destroying, they're saying that the attitude he was taking and the things he was saying was he was willing to destroy a Chinese economy, which would, to me, would be a declared war. So now the whole world economy shut down. Another important thing the president did, but you know, his followers say it was a win. And I'm like, I don't know. Notice here, another important thing that the president did, at least he thinks it's important, is Operation Warp Speed, to develop a vaccine without proper testing, right? So right now, all across the world and in America, because of the president, vaccines were developed in the fastest time ever by the vaccine manufacturers, ever. Without no proper testing and no proper animal studies and no proper nothing. And this is one thing that make him the greatest president in American history. And this, again, is one of those things that I say, I don't understand, why is this a great thing? You just develop a vaccine with no proper testing, and it's being used as an emergency authorization. So not even the FDA really gave it a full blanket approval. It's just an emergency use because there's no proper time. You need months and years to prove if the vaccine is safe, because you don't know any long-term effect. When the vaccine came out at first, they say there was zero side effects, zero problems. Then the first time they started using it, they said, well, I guess if you have allergies, this vaccine could be a problem. But that's all because there's no proper testing. How can anything be zero problematic that is not natural and from God? Another thing was this: in the summer, the president was trying to save America by encouraging them to use hydroxychloroquine, which was a drug that one of the people under Operation Warp Speed, one of the advisors for Operation Warp Speed, belonged to the company that make hydroxychloroquine. And there was a conflict of interest. So the president was promoting his drug, as he did with the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine. They were all part of the Warp Speed. So the workers for the companies were involved in getting the approval for a vaccine that was not properly tested. And this was part of the 4 years' greatest thing that ever happened to America. Now, it's again, another major important point, as I say, Isaiah said, there's no truth in the land. The president had labeled all media except Fox News as fake media. So every single media in the United States was fake for the last 4 years, and that there was a war on truth, and everything was fake. Even Wikipedia, Google, everything was fake. All social media is fake, unless it's positive for the president. And only he was the only source of truth for the last 4 years, according to him and his followers. This was a major theme for the last 4 years. All media is fake, every one of them. So I don't have to say which one, because all of them is fake. It's all everything fake, the whole shebang, fake. Another important thing that happened, because that one you just have to analyze, because that was fascinating. From I've been alive until now, it's the first time I've ever heard it. Now, if you look in history, what you'll find is fascism, communism, Stalinism, all of these isms always did that. They put the kibosh on all sources of information outside of their official source of information as fake. All authoritarian dictators around the world always do that. They're the only source of truth. Only the state-run media is source of truth, and there's no other source of truth except them, globally. And that is uncontrovertible information. But again, I guess what I just said would be fake news. But it was very ironic. None of the anti-communist Americans that supported the president didn't notice that. They didn't click and say, wait a minute. All sorts of information, this is the first president, I think, in American history, probably except for the time of McCarthyism, all sorts of information became fake and was false. And only the president and his official news agency, which was Fox News, teaches truth. Very interesting. So the Britannica, History Channel, everything fake. That was, again, an aim to make America great again. Now, and this you find evangelicals do this. Only their pastors are the source of truth. Nobody else. Another important thing, again, is support from the mega church evangelists and prophets. They also had truth. So Fox News of truth and all televangelists that supports him and all mega church pastors that support him, they were truth. Everybody else was fake. You know, so you just can't go do a Google search and read. If the information you read does not line up with the president's greatness and making America great, it's fake. But if it does, it's true. But nothing I see here so far made America great. Because all these countries, that's how they fail, by having these authoritarian dictators that only they're the source of truth. Notice here, support from megachurch evangelists. Okay, no, next is Trump promised to eliminate the national debt in 8 years. right? So that's important. So this was another promise to make America great. The national debt was going to be eliminated, he told his followers, and this was well documented, in 8 years. So at this point, we should have half of the national debt eliminated. But what happened? Instead, after 4 years, the debt increased by almost 36%. So when you look at the debt, national debt, in 4 years, as of October 2020, so last year, October, it surpassed 27 trillion. Now, I know it's in the 20s. So it's in the 20s, but he had 36%. So to keep it at that, right? Sometimes that number is a little bit fluid, but the national debt has added a little bit over a quarter to the national debt. So he was supposed to eliminate, if my calculator is right, it was somewhere in the teens when he came into power. Bush had added about one third of the national debt after he got a surplus from President Bill Clinton. And with the wars, it added about one third of the debt. Then Obama to bail out after Bush basically took the country from the black to the red. Obama had it at another one third. And then Trump now promised his followers, because remember it is the greatest 4 years, he says, and he's going to be the greatest president except Abraham Lincoln. And he added another 36% to the national debt. Instead of, he said in 4 years he was going to eliminate it, he actually added another one third. All right, not important. So that, again, obviously did not make the country great again. Separation of immigrant kids on the border. So that's one of the things that was very painful to watch. The aim was to punish or scare off the people coming by taking away their kids and separating the kids from them, so they would be so scared of having the kids separated that they wouldn't come. So this was a policy that was put in place, and that's what it did and never was rectified. But the aim of this was to make America great again, which is, to me, any country that want to curse themselves, this is what you do. You abuse the stranger and the fatherless. They were actually creating orphans, and they did create multiple orphans, which is weird. There's a philosophy that is very fascinating amongst sinners the world over, not unique to any group, is this idea there that I need to prosper. So I'm started prospering. And I say to myself, you know, I don't need to just prosper only. What I need to do is I need to destroy others. So it's one thing to talk about how to prosper, but notice most of the plan to prosper is something to do with hurting others. And because there's no mercy and there's no truth, there's no love. So in your plan of life, that's why I say this is how you destroy an institution, a country, or a person. Your plan to succeed cannot involve destroying others. You can succeed in this life, which is my takeaway. I don't know if I'll get to it soon. If I don't get to that, clean up tomorrow, get there tomorrow. You can succeed in life, no matter what evildoers tell you, no matter what your crazy mind tell you. We don't have to destroy others. You can go to your work, make your own money, and prosper in this life. It's going to be hard work, but you will prosper. And you never have to hurt anybody. But many people plan to prosper is that they want to take out their neighbors, because they can't prosper without seeing people suffer. So they took away these kids from their parents, creating orphans. Another important thing the president did was label all Mexican males as rapists. I remember I did a program and that I covered. I analyzed, because it made me start thinking. I said, let's see the numbers. And I realized that rape is higher in America than it is in Mexico. And then I said, oh, let's see what happened in Jamaica. Oh, they're raping down there. And they find out that the ratios of rape or incidence of rape is lower in, say, Jamaica, Mexico, than it is in America. America is a high rape case. So, yeah, but that was false. This, again, does not make the country great. But I have to wickedly label people as everybody. And there's a possibility that, he said, there's a possibility that there might be Mexican males that are rapists. But he said all of them, he thinks, are rapists. Very fascinated. One of the big hits that he did, since I'm talking about some immigration stuff here, is Muslim ban. So he banned all Shia Muslim country. And then soon in Muslim countries, he said they could come to America. But the problem again here is this not make America great, because when you look at September 11, most of the bombers came from Saudi Arabia. He didn't ban Saudi Arabia because he was doing oil deal and military deals with them. So is that making America great? No, he's like, Saudi Arabia is my partner. I'm going to hit the Shia. So that would be Yemen. So yeah, they had a war with Yemen. There's a current war with Yemen. You're going to hit Iran. Any country that's Syria, they're going to hit Syria, all those countries. So this wasn't making America great. This wasn't to protect the nation. This was to retaliate against your friends, enemies. But if you go to many people today and say to them, what was the Muslim ban for? To protect us. Like, really? So why only certain Muslims? And why not the Muslims that caused September 11? And they will look at you with a blank look on their face. Notice here, one of the things that the president do when it comes on to all of that is he unleash white supremacy on the streets. Now, this is important because remember, under Obama, if any president that should have a lot of protests with white supremacists, it should have been Obama. But under Obama, the white supremacists, for the most part, they kept quiet. You know, they were there and they were mad because for the first time in American history, and a European juggernaut, so to speak, country, you had a person that was brown running the country. But yet they didn't unleash them on the street. But under him, they unleashed them. So how did that happen? Because most naturally, he was trying to take a hold of the national security apparatus. So they were free to do what they want to do. So these terrorists basically run amok because the FBI basically, he pulled the teeth out of the FBI. So interesting enough, and I'd stated this before, the president is of German descent. One of the famous things that on a democratic rule that Adolf Hitler came to power under is that he dominated the society by sending what they call the brown shirts. The brown shirts were people that basically would do this type of same activity as basically ransacking the society and putting the fear, their fear of evil, their reign of terror on the society. So I thought that was interesting because this is the same thing. And the reason why I think it's concrete analysis is because under Obama, they did not run ransack the society, and neither did under Clinton or under Bush. So it has to be specific to him, because they didn't behave this bad under Clinton or under President Bush. But they behaved this way under him. So he's the one that unleashed them. It's absolutely, to me, that's uncontrovertible. But I know they will say, well, that's fake news. build a border wall. So the aim was to build a border wall. Now, I think I'll read it later on, but I'm running out of time here. But President Bush had built, I think, 500 or 650 miles of border wall. And Donald Trump was supposed to build so much more, and he didn't, right? And Bush built that without all kind of racist rhetoric. So the border wall never got built, and he built less mileage. I think I have the numbers here in a few minutes. That never happened, but I just want to run through some of the immigration issues that didn't work. But remember, all of this was to make America great again. And I just want to go through this list because I think it's important to recap this. Another important thing here is this thing called sanctuary cities. And he went after sanctuary cities to make a country great again. So on January 25th, I can't remember which year. I don't know why I put the date. Anyhow, Trump signed an executive order announcing public safety in the interior of the United States to the Secretary of Homeland Security and Attorney General and their departments and agencies to increase the enforcement of immigration law, which included the hiring of 10,000 additional immigration officers. His order required the cooperation of states and local authorities. The order states sanctuary jurisdiction, including sanctuary cities, who refuse to comply will not be eligible to receive federal grants except as deemed necessary for law enforcement purposes by the Attorney General or the Secretary. Some officials claim that the U.S. Constitution bars federal government from commandeering state officials or using the federal funds to coerce states into doing the biddings of Washington. In 2018, Trump administration increased the requirement for refugee screening process. As a result, only 22,491 refugees were settled that year, the lowest figure since 1980. So from the time of the end of Jimmy Carter, in the beginning of President Ronald Reagan, this has been the lowest amount of immigrants that came in America because it made it more stringent to get in. He said, you know, if you're fleeing something like domestic abuse or gang violence, you know, you're not going to come in. And so this was the aim. All of this now, to go after the stranger and the poor and the suffering, was to make the country great again. And somehow, as I say, many people believe this, yeah, this is going to make it great. The more we're unmerciful and kind, the country going to do better. We going to do better. Another important point here, the aim of the president was to drain the swamp. Largest turnover of the cabinet in 4 years. And this is my observation. And so this cabinet was, they say, they think is the largest by analysis. I can't remember if it was Forbes magazine or some of these other major analytical companies looked at it and said they think it was the richest cabinet in human history that ever assembled to run a country. It was filled with only billionaires and multimillionaires. Nobody on there, I think, was less than a multimillionaire. So for me, this is important because this is probably, I should really put this at the top of the list. If anything, and I looked at it and said, it ain't going to work. Because one thing with multi-billionaires and multi-millionaires, you can put beside the name is selfish and blind to regular people, struggles and living. They're too separated from reality. That's just, it's nothing to them, do with them personally, it's just the reality. And many of them had a checkered past, like Betsy Davis and so forth. So you have a bunch of people who are multi-millionaires and billionaires sitting to run a country who has a checkered past of destroying, like Betsy Davis, the Detroit school district, and punishing and keeping ignorant so many black people. And she was going to be the one to be the educational secretary. And remember, this was to drain the swamp. So you look around the world, you say, who are some of the biggest swamp monsters the world has ever seen? And you take them, you put them in the cabinet and say, run the country and make it great again. And what's going to happen in 4 years? Well, we'll see it. So the aim was to drain the swamp. And yet what we have is probably the largest turnover in 4 years of a cabinet and leadership in the United States that we've ever seen. Economic reinvestment zones, and this was investment zones for the rich, didn't work. Buy America, hire America without taking care of consumers or building good, reliable American products. So the aim was not to give us good, reliable products. So I have to do a whole program on this because notice the pressure is always on the American public to buy American-made products. The pressure is never on the manufacturers and the unions to build products that are reliable. This will not make the country great again. We need to address this problem. You cannot be giving me a car that does not go 100,000 miles and then tell me that I should buy because I should be patriotic to these men and women that are making the cars, but they're not patriotic to me to make me a good car. And, you know, multiple people going to prison around the president. This was part of the draining the swamp, but yet so many people are in an indictment investigation for corruption and bribery. And yet this was the aim, was to make drain the swamp. Change the rules to force low-income housing in suburban areas. So one of the big mark of Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, was that when he ended his 4 years, the big thing that he can boast for the rest of his life about was that he changed the rules so that poor people can't live in suburban neighborhoods. And that's his, as a black person that lives in Section 8, he's now made rules by the president. And his mark of pride is that now he forced black people to sit and live in urban areas. And that's Dr. Ben Carson name and fame. That's how he's going to go down. COVID-19 was a hoax. That was another big thing last year. And no face masks and no shutting down of the system. So COVID is a lie. It doesn't exist. China sent it, but it's not real. And it's not bad. It's cool. I guess it's like the flu. That one is going to go down in history. But the aim of that COVID hoax was to make America great again. Conservative Catholics on the Supreme Court, 3 were added. The aim of these 3 people is to make the country great again. That's not reality. Direct command to storm the Capitol. So the president is on record. You can see the video to directly tell his followers to storm the Capitol building. And I guess he said to scare the Republicans. I don't know if he was telling them definitely to take over the building and try to trash it, but it was a direct command. The forgotten Americans had their revenge and their carnage that the president says the American carnage would stop. The last 4 years has been a lot of deaths. No substantial addressing of the escalating drug epidemic. There's been no major investments to stop the drug epidemic. Promise that he will cure cancer. That was a big one. The president say he will put everything, every resources to cure cancer. And you can't show me one piece of move was made, an investment to cure cancer. The president promised that COVID will disappear. Some of these kind of braggadocious, crazy concept by April 15, 2020. We still have COVID here. I remember talking to people on literally people I didn't know that I'm talking to them, and rarely they came up and said, oh, it's going to disappear. And then it's still here. Then they say, oh, after the election, it's going to disappear. Now it's worse. Fascinating. Making America great. Notice again, Space Force. About Space Force? President say we're going to have a Space Force. The carrier air condition deal failed, and carrier moved this manufacturing from Ohio to Mexico. Companies making the company making the Apple product was supposed to make manufacture in America. Never happened in the Midwest. That's a failed venture. Never happened. Establishing Israel as an oppressive and we call it country, and for them to continue to steal Palestinian land. Also, he made the embassy at Jerusalem, but it's not fully an embassy. It's basically like a consulate move to Jerusalem. I guess the embassy moving the consulate. And so that was one of the things. This is the aim of that, to go against the Muslim and take over and go against the Palestinian. Is the aim is to make America great. Freedom of speech mean insight to incite violence, wickedness against those that are bullied, oppressed, and do criminal activity. When you hear a person say, we have freedom in America, don't trample on us, what they're really saying is that we have freedom to do violence and do wickedly and to abuse people. Don't be fooled by this. For the last 4 years, all we've been hearing is freedom of speech. White supremacy is increased. Evangelical messiah to deliver us. Never happened in the last 4 years. And so if you give 4 more years, I can't imagine what a third world nation will become. He will be known as the construction president. That's what the president claimed. That he will be known as the construction president. That building will be going up everywhere. There'll be bridges, tunnels, roads, buildings, dams will be fixed. And what we had was even dam failure and killing how many people in multiple states. At least 2 states I can call off my head. Dam failed. There was no effort to rebuild none of these things. But the president did promise that he's going to make America great. He's going to have damn failure. Remove America from any climate change agreement. That's what happened. And then one of the things he did on the Bette Davis here is on the April 26, 2017, under the order of the Secretary of Education, Bette Davis, the director to study an overall overreach in the local and state education system. As a strong advocate for charter school, Davis will determine within 300 days whether federal education regulations take control away from the states in an area such as curriculum, school administration, and textbook or library. So you wanted the Bette Davis to basically take away education from local schools. May 4, 2017, the order to erase IRS enforcement of the Johnson Act, which banned churches from engaging in political speech. It also gives relief. So this is the tearing down of the separation of church and state. And this is one of the things he did to make America great again, which is a disaster. And you can read more about that. That, yeah, again, he's called the promoting free speech and religious liberty. And what the aim was to separation, the break down the separation of church and state. He imposed sanction against Venezuela August 25, 2017, so that he can force in basically and destroy the economy so they can put in the guy that is, I think, the replacement for Maduro. Tech companies added, so one of the big things that they talk about, and I go a little bit longer here, but one of the big things here, Wall Street did well, they said, in the last 4 years. But notice, that's fake, because remember he said he was going to reinstitute manufacturing in America. But what happened? Apple, Amazon, and Google was put on the Dow Industrial industrial average, and then major manufacturing companies like GM or General Electric and so forth were taken off. So that had nothing to do with him. That has to do with the changing reality of the tech world becoming such a big juggernaut. Again, Apple, Amazon, Google. So that tell you that had nothing to do with him. That had nothing to do with anybody. That has to do with that the constant evolution of the tech world becoming bigger system, right? Jobs. The president said that he was going to create 25 million jobs. This is not specific from the president. That he would create 25 million jobs and he will create more jobs than any president in the history of America. And he would beat Bill Clinton that created 18 million jobs that Bill Clinton did. Which, notice here, Clinton created a job and Clinton had a surplus. 18 million jobs. Clinton has the record. To create jobs, the President Trump launched the Rebuild America plan. It outlined $200 billion in spending over 10 years to leverage billions in business spending and reduce permit processing, because no requirements, by 8 years. The plan was not executed. Not executed. As a result, Trump created 6.6 million jobs between 2017 and 2019. This was before the 2020 recession, which cost the economy 20 million jobs in April alone. By September, 12 million people were still unemployed. So we went from creating six instead of this crazy idea of 25 million. And then we end up losing 12 by September. And we don't know where it's going to be. Remember, some people say, well, at least he did create 6 million. Here's the thing. The job creation was happening under Obama. He took over from where Obama was doing, and he just continued rolling. You can't, if you say, well, he created this amount of job in 2017 onwards. Well, 2017 couldn't be his because he just got into power. That would still be Obama functioning, and he continued rolling. Almost there now. Asylum seekers. He basically changed the asylum seekers, and I kind of covered that, so I'll just skip that. I want to give you some data on it, but we're just out of time. On trade policies seek to reduce the trade deficit, and then it redid NAFTA. But as I said before, that is on analysis because he started a trade war with China, and he hit China with multiple trade tariffs. And that basically increased. So last year, I read, in 2019, President Trump imposed a fourth trade tariff. He raised trade tariff by 25% on $2 billion worth of products. The Fed estimate that this tariff combined with the previous 2018 tariffs will cost the average household $831 a year. So the idea is, okay, I'm hitting them, I'm winning the trade war. But now trade tariffs are up. Who's going to pay the trade tariffs? Well, we buy the product. The product is going to go up. And what ended up happening, people are already complaining that many of the products that we're buying, the price are up. Companies have put up the prices, especially because certain appliances are not being manufactured in high numbers. And certain things are happening. We're paying higher amount of money at this point. And part of it is because of COVID and part of it because of the trade. To be honest, it's two things, I think, running up those prices. So what ended up happening? We're paying out more money. And I guess this is part of winning. So as I look at this, so this is the list. As I say, I wanted to read this list for you first before I go to now. I'm going to show you now where this never worked. This is, again, my theme for this week. When doing everything to save a country, institution, or person, end up destroying it. And I just wanted to read to you what happened in the last 4 years. And as you see there, all of this was a lot of braggadocious talk, a lot of crazy talk about, so I'm so great and this is the greatest person. Yet, I want to ask you this question to leave with you here, this thought, as we separate from each other for this morning. By God's grace, we'll finish up this week. Looking at the list that I just read to you, the question that comes to my mind then is, since all this was a lot of braggadocious talk and this ended up hitting the economy, why would a person still believe that the president is one of the greatest presidents in American history and one of, if not, the best 4 years in an American president rule? Why do people believe that? So this is what I want to share with you. So looking forward to talking to you again tomorrow when we shall do this again. And we shall cover this because I'm going to add more to this. And as I say, I went over my time, but I'm going to make it right tomorrow. I won't try to go over my time tomorrow. So let us pray to close. Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you again for your blessing. I thank you for the way you continue to lead us. I thank you for the way to give us independent thinking that we not might be by with any group or any group being sheeples. I pray, dear Father, that we might always maintain this type of thinking to analyze and to look at, really honest look at the promises and the braggadocious talks of false prophets and false leaders. And may we stay on the straight and narrow for the Jesus. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with me here on Revive Reform Radio. Looking forward to talking to you again live tomorrow morning, where we should talk about the importance of church, especially independent church. Until then, I pray that you may continue to walk with the King.